So, for those of you who are listening in on the World Wide Web thing, Merry Christmas. And to picture the scene, the choir have sat down, and the rather good-looking speaker has now taken the stage. Yeah, he'll be along later, don't worry. So. I don't want to hide behind this, so let's drop it down a little bit. You want to see those good looks, eh? So, I'm very much in Christmas mode. I've spent the last month touring the south of the UK, judging Santa's grottos. So I've met Santa on more than one occasion. I don't know how he does it, but wherever I go, he just seems to be there again. Very clever bloke, and it's worth keeping in with that guy, I tell you. And then yesterday, I saw him in action again at the, was it Club 707 Christmas party? I was that close to him, I could have been sat on the same seat, truth be known. Fantastic. And I love watching kids kind of working out Santa. Some of them are quite frightened initially, and they kind of shy back, and some of them are more confident. Even some of the adults aren't quite sure how to handle the situation. But when Santa brings out the goodie bag, they seem to know what to do, and they all come kind of charging forward. And it's my prayer, actually, that over the next kind of 15, 20 minutes-ish, that we would have hearts like those kids, actually, that we'd be up for a gift tonight, that we'd be prepared to be surprised, that we wouldn't let anything stand in the way on what God would have to say to us. When I was about 10 or 11, I went on a crusader camp, and I made my first kind of commitment to the Lord Jesus, and I have to say he was much more faithful to me than I ever was to him. But I went back to school, and someone had told me, you need to kind of tell people, Roger, you know, that you've become a Christian. And so I got these little stickers, little kind of, you know, Jesus smile, Jesus loves you. Do you remember those? And there was one that said, wise men still seek him. And other things equally as corny as that. But I love the story of the wise men. I love the fact that actually God chose people who were beyond those that were expecting to be used. He went beyond the realms of the Jewish people, beyond Israel. It's almost like he kind of took the perimeter fence and he just kept on moving it further and further out. And so more and more people were included. And so these kings from far away came along, and I can just imagine what they said to their families, you know, when they decided to go and kind of seek the newborn king to follow that star. And their wives must have thought, you know, they've been on the sherry again. They said, make sure you come back in time for Christmas. And off they trundled. And of course, they eventually found what they were looking for. I wonder if they realized that 2,000 years later, we were still going to be talking about what they did. I wonder if they realized that those gifts that they brought, that they would have almost like a prophetic picture, a prophetic sense about them, you know, the fact that there was gold for a king, that there was frankincense for one who was going to serve as a priest, and there was myrrh for one who was going to die. But they were seeking something, and I kind of, my first question to you is, what are you seeking? What are you seeking God for, actually? Those guys had I don't think they realized it, but they had a God-given purpose that they were outliving, they were outworking. So, have you, have I, got a God-given purpose? And where are you on that journey, on following and pursuing and chasing and searching for that purpose? Did I give somebody some verses from Hebrews to share? Good. Yep, thank you.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who do his
Thank you. He rewarded those kings who earnestly sought him, and they had their moment in history. He rewards us when we earnestly seek him, when we don't give up, when we press on and we keep on going. And I'm sure it wasn't a quick journey for those kings. And sometimes, you know, those things that he places on our heart, those things that, those purposes and those dreams, and those things that he encourages us to ask for, we need to keep on pressing in and searching for. I ask you again, what are you seeking God for? About just over two years ago, I went through quite a tough time when my dad was dying, bless him, and obviously that was a very difficult time for me and the whole family, and it just happened that everything else went wrong at the same time, and including with my car. And I need my car for my work, and so I was kind of trying to juggle work because I'm self-employed. If I don't work, you know, I don't get any money. But I was trying to kind of see my dad, and I was trying to kind of sort out stuff with the family, and I was trying to work out what was going on with my car. I couldn't believe it. And I was getting very, very stressed out. My dad died, and that, you know, obviously that made things worse. And I had a big kind of contract of work coming up, which I needed to travel all over the UK. Was that seeing Santas? No, that wasn't. That was something else. And I got myself in the right pickle, really, I needed to sell the car, but I was uncomfortable with the fact that I knew that there was things wrong with the car, and I needed another car, but what do I do with this one? And it was money involved, big chunks of money, and I wasn't sleeping at night, you know, because I was upset about the family situation. And I remember I was lying in bed one night, and I was praying, and I've never heard God's voice audibly. But that was as near to it as I've ever experienced. And it was just as if God said, Roger, what do you want? So I thought, well, that's a good question. So I reeled off my little conditions, really. I said, well, actually what I want is a new car, brand new car, so I can drive reliably, I can have a guarantee on it, and not have to worry about if it's going to break down like this other one. I want to be able to afford, so this is my budget, and to be able to afford that budget, I need to be able to sell this car that's got things wrong with it. I want to sell it and get this amount, but I want to be able to tell the people what's wrong with it and the fact that I've tried to sort it out, but I can't. That's really what I want. And within a few days, that's what I got, a new car. I handed over the old one. I said, look, this is what's wrong with it. We try to sort it out. We can't. And I thought, why was I getting so stressed about, you know? And I think God is, you know, he's interested in every kind of detail. I love one of the speakers I listen to. He says, look, if it's important to you, it's important to God. So what is it that you want? We need to check context and motive here, you know, if we're going to start asking, kind of getting our kind of shopping list for God. And I want to look at context, first of all, and I wanted to have the verses from Habakkuk, and I thought, who in this fellowship would love to read some words from Habakkuk? And I thought, I know a man who can do that. So Pete, I wonder if you could share some verses which point us towards the context for Jesus' arrival, this time when we celebrate the generosity of God when he came for all mankind. And hundreds of years prior to this, this was the heart of God's people, crying out to God. Habakkuk said, thanks be. So, for hundreds of years, Israel, the people of God, the Jewish people, were hungry. They were yearning for God to move. They've heard the stories of what he'd done in the past. They'd heard about Moses and Abraham and Gideon and Joshua and all those heroes of the faith. They'd heard about the miracles. They'd heard about the move of God, God's provision. They heard a car horn going. And for hundreds of years, They were left hungry. They were left wanting. And that was the context into which God then appears. And he says, yeah, that's it. It's not just for you guys. It's for everyone. He includes everyone. And so part of the context for God, I believe, saying to us, what do you want? It's not just for what Roger wants. You know, my heart is actually not, I'm not really just interested in the car. I'm really interested in what God is doing and what we, his church, are doing in 2013. I'm interested in hearing more and more reports like we've heard. It's been an encouraging year, hasn't it, for God's church in Wales? That's my hunger. That's my heart. And I'm sure it's your heart too, to see more and more of God repeating in this day what we've heard about in the past. So what about my motive? In James 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So there is a check, you know, and I love the fact that Scripture provides the checks and the balances for us to just kind of ensure that the prayers, the things we ask for, the things that we do are in line with God's will. So if you're the sort of person that's saying, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, I want to cooperate with you, I want my heart to desire the things that you desire, I want my passions and my plans to be your passions and your plans. If that's the sort of prayer that you pray, then I think we've got every right to turn to God and say, Lord, this is what I want, believing that actually what comes from our heart is influenced by God. I love what Mary said when the angel came to her with the apparent good news that she was going to carry God's son into the world. I say apparent because, you know, they reckon she was probably about 12, 13, and she wasn't married in a society where, you know, that meant you could get stoned if you were pregnant. So here's the good news, Mary. And she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said. If there's anything like that sort of heart in you, that you want to serve the Lord, you want to see his kingdom come, you want to see his will be done, I think he wants you to pursue your heart's desire today. This is great news. This is generosity at its best. Luke 2, when the angels said to them, talking to the shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem, he said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Turn to the person next to you and say, great joy. Great joy. Yeah, good. Try and calm yourselves down a bit as well. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. On whom does God's favor rest now, I wonder? Isn't it us? Aren't we favored by God? Aren't we included in his grace and his plan? Luke 4, a couple of chapters later. This is when Jesus, it's 30 years later, he's going to announce the start of his ministry, and he goes into the synagogue, and he picks up the scroll, and he reads the words of Isaiah. And these were kind of hugely important, hugely relevant words. For him to say this, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. You know, Jewish people have been waiting for someone to stand up and say this for hundreds of years. And now there's this kind of carpenter's son getting up to say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news. There's that good news again. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There's that word again. And when he did that, he picked up the scroll, he sat down, and he said, today, it says here, look, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. How could he dare to read out those verses? And then he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He took up the fence and he flung it out the way and he said, folks, it's party time. God's favor. And that was his first sermon, and he almost got him thrown off the cliff. You know, the first time I spoke, it was a very awkward, clumsy, not much different now, really, kind of 20 minutes. But no one threatened to throw me off the cliff. But Jesus' first sermon was so, so outrageous that he almost went nosediving off the cliff there. People were so upset. When I was a child, Mum used to say to me, Roger, those who ask don't get. I think God says, actually, those who ask do get, if your heart is surrendered to him. If you doubt that, think again. Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone, it doesn't say everyone apart from so-and-so at Gateway on the 20th December. No, everyone who asks receives. These are Jesus' words. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Folks, it's Christmas. We're here to celebrate the goodness of God, the generosity of God, to celebrate the fact that we are his favored ones and that he's opened up the treasure chest of heaven for us. Last time I spoke to you, I featured a slide from Tesco's, you may recall, those of you that were unfortunate to be there. And I'm not on commission from Tesco's, but I want to just refer to this because it crossed my mind that, because Leslie, my wife, she collects Tesco points. And then, I don't know how often these things come out, but you get like reward days or something. And she gets one of these magazines through every so often. Anybody else get these? Yeah. And apparently you can convert your points that you've been collecting through the year, and you can kind of get triple points or quadruple points. And I looked through and it's, oh dear me, as you can get Denby cutlery, apparently, with some of your points. That didn't really do much for me. What's this? Tops, tiles, flooring and tiles, that sort of thing. Didn't really bother me very much. Cinema tickets, maybe. Cheap flights, now we're talking. Hotels. And it just struck me, actually, when I thought about, you know, that if you've been, as it were, if you've been praying for stuff and you haven't seen that come home yet, if you've been pursuing God, maybe you prayed about things years ago, decades ago, and you kind of put it down and said, no, I'm not going to get that. I want to challenge you. I would say pick it up again. When God says ask and seek and knock, you know, it's that sense of keep on asking, knocking, seeking. Don't give up. Do as the kings did. Keep on going, no matter what people say. So, what I want us to do, forgive me, this is a bit different, but we could just kind of nod sagely or just nod off, really, as I'm talking here, and walk out and have a good time over Christmas, or we could do something about this. So I'm going to invite us to pair up at least twos, maybe threes if you're more comfortable, and we're going to have 5 minutes before we close where we seek God. I want to encourage you to think about things that you would love God to do in your life, for you personally or for your church, for the church in 2014. And let's just spend a couple of minutes praying about that. And there's something that happens when you pair up. People, God loves us to be in unity, to, you know, where he says we're two or more are gathered. And I don't think he's talking about, you know, the numbers there. What he's after is that sense of unity. where we're prepared to share with someone alongside us and agree with them. So, in the same way that those kids queued up to see Santa with their hands out and their eyes wide open, can we spend 5 minutes together if we can pair up or maybe in twos and threes? And I'm gonna quickly pray. Father, I thank you that you showed us at that first Christmas just how generous you are. And Lord, I pray that as we seek you now, I pray that you would bring to mind those things that are a priority to you. Lord, I offer you our minds and our words and our prayers right now. And I just pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Would you surprise us, Lord, as we seek you? And I thank you that you are a generous God who is good for his word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Folks, let's